How many times have you thought about the fact that Christ is our example? It's a truth. I think all of us recognize that that He is our example. And we're going to develop this lesson talking about how Christ in every way is our example, but in some specific areas we'll be looking at this morning, He is our example. First, let's look at the affirmation that Christ is our example. You know, the Scriptures say this, do they not? As you think about the nature of the Old Testament, where the Bible says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. That's the Old Testament Scriptures. The Bible says, these things happen for example, if they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. Talking again about the Old Testament. Is there a New Testament example? Well, there are a lot of them. But is there one better than that of Jesus Christ? Look at the text of this lesson. Slide number 2 says, to this end you were called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. You see that? Would you write that on your heart? The bracelet that some of the young people used to wear, you know, several years ago. I don't know, teens, do people still wear those WWJD bracelets anymore? Those who were before you did that. What would Jesus do? You remember one of the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father and it suffices us. God, or Jesus, do us a favor. Show us what God is like. You remember Jesus' answer? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Now, you put all of that together and think about what godly living is all about. Living like God, then look at the example of Jesus. The Bible affirms that Jesus is our example. But look again. Not only is there the affirmation from the Scripture that Jesus is our example, but have you thought about how often we sing about Jesus being our example? I think I've mentioned several times, but once again, I have in the past couple of years tried to just really, really to improve my worship, to think about the meaning of the words of the songs that we sing. And I hope that we don't just sing that. I hope you see that bird flying out of that cage and headed out for freedom. And that will fly away some. I hope you got a visual picture whenever you was talking about a bird, you know, that was released from prison. You know, we're not talking about Larry Bird, the basketball player, getting out of jail for some crime he might have committed. No, we're talking about a bird that's been in a cage and now it's flying. Did you pay attention to the words of that? What about words like this? Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. How many times you sung that? And how many times as you've sung that song have you really thought, you told the Lord that the constant longing and prayer that you had was to be like Him. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee. Full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit, holy, harmless, patient and brave. And the chorus, oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art, come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, and stamp your image on my heart, on my soul. Something happens to you when you sing songs like this. The Bible shows that singing is tied to our emotions. Zinni Mary, let him sing. Our souls are tied to the songs that we sing. And if we'll pay attention to the words of the songs that we sing, oh, to be like thee. He's our example. One more. I want to be more like Jesus and follow Him day by day. I want to be true and faithful in every command I obey. I want to be kind and gentle to those who are in distress, to comfort the brokenhearted with sweet words of tenderness. I want to be meek and lowly, like Jesus, our friend and King. I want to be strong and earnest, and souls to the Savior bring. More and more like Jesus I would ever be. More and more like Jesus, my Savior who died for me. As I thought about this aspect of this song and how it changes us, that here's a song that's based on the teachings of the Word of God to be holy as I'm holy, and to look into the life of Jesus and say, that's what I want to be. Tyrone, Jesus one time was a 17-year-old boy. That's what you need to be like. Think about what Jesus was like if He lived in your street, if He were you in the school where you're found. And I call Tyrone's name, but I could have called the names of every single one of us here, except I wouldn't have said 17 years old like you are. It's amazing. He's our example. But think about it. We pray about it, do we not? Lord, help us to become more and more like Jesus. And how many times in prayer have you heard the word Christ-like and the expression like our Lord or like Jesus? Think of all of the times whenever you've thought about those footprints of Jesus. And we sing about the footprints of Jesus and say, I'll gladly follow the footprints of Jesus wherever they go. We sing about it and we pray about it. But not only is there that affirmation about Jesus, our example, but there is that illustration in the life of Jesus. In the first place, I suggest to you that Jesus is our example in obedience. How much was Jesus devoted to doing God's will? Before He was ever born, and so we put at His birth, He said to the fathers, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 through 7, when He came into the world, He said, sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. Think about that. From the moment He was on this earth, He said, I'm going to do God's will. You remember what He said when He was 12 years of age? When He was found there in the temple by His parents, when He'd been lost for 3 days from them. You remember what He said in Luke chapter 2, verse 49? He said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must? You want to underline the word must? 12 years of age, and he said, I must be doing my Father's will. Sometimes it's hard to think about Jesus being 12. But at 12 years of age, He said, I've got to do my Father's will. And then shortly after His public ministry began, John chapter 8, Jesus said, He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. Christ, our example in obedience. And then finally, as He was dying, from His birth to His early part of His life when He's 12, when He's in His 30s, And now at the end of his life, Matthew chapter 26, verse 38 and 39, then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." And went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Christ, our example in obedience. In the second place, I suggest to you that Christ is our example in service. Jesus came not to be served. He came to be a servant. And we need to understand and remember that servants serve. And because of the kind of servant that he was, he became like it, as it were, our slave. The Creator of the world was so devoted to service that he became our slave, our servant. Can you imagine that? He, through whom all things were made and nothing has been made that was not made, lived on this earth as our servant. And I shall never get over the attitude that Jesus had when he washed Judas's feet. Why am I here on this earth? Lord, teach me what it's all about. Jesus said, "Look at me and you'll see how you ought to live." God left us this example that we should follow in his steps. He that has seen me has seen the Father. What's God like? What does God want me to be like? He wants me to be that individual who serves others. And listen to this verse. When we think about the matter of him being our servant, look in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. This is from the English Standard Version. "Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, to be held on to. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant." I want you to think about that. The Creator of the world emptied himself. And God, who had never been cold, lived on this earth where there was summer and winter. And God, who had never been hungry, fasted for 40 days. And God, who had never been thirsty, on the cross cried out, "I thirst." Lord, tell me what my life is all about. It is not being self-centered. If you want to be successful in life, regardless of where you are, in the workplace or in the neighborhood or in the family, you become that individual who serves others. There's our example. And he gave up heaven to live in a cesspool called earth, in a body that would hurt, have pain and agony and sorrow, because he came to serve. In the third place, I suggest to you that Jesus is our example in seeking the lost. As you think about Jesus, seeing people and seeing their potential, here are ignorant and unlearned fishermen. They know a lot about fishing, but educationally speaking, they are ignorant and unlearned. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 uses those words to describe Peter and John. Ignorant and unlearned. And he saw in them that which others could not see in them, They became, as it were, the foundation of the church. You're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Think again. Here's Levi. Here's the tax collector. And Jesus saw in him something far, far greater than any other man of the Jewish nationality would have said. And what about Zacchaeus? Come down, Zacchaeus. And the criticism of Jesus, why he associates with sinners. Can we not understand how much Jesus longs for the world to be saved? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He could have come down off that cross when they said, if you are the Son of God, come off the cross, we'll believe in you. He could have done it. But he said, the blood of the New Testament shed for many for the remission of sins. And so in a very specific way, I want to ask you something. With our gospel meeting that's coming up as we make application of this lesson, with our gospel meeting that begins 2 weeks from today, WWJD, what would Jesus do if he were a part of this church? Now you think about it. Do you think that Jesus would pray to the Father? You have not because you ask not. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives. Do you really think that if Jesus were a part of this, do you think that he might be praying for this great event that's come? Are you not aware that the night before he selected the apostles, he prayed all night? Could I use Jesus as an example, as motivation to every member of this church? For the next 14 days, you don't let a day pass that you don't pray, God help us in this concerted effort to reach out and to save those that are lost. Oh, how important that is. What would Jesus do in preparation for the gospel meeting? If Jesus knew that someone with the capability of a Dan Winkler who spoke last November on our lectureship, so amazingly wonderful and life-changing, who just, you know, 3 or 4 months ago stood in this very pulpit and stirred our hearts and changed our lives by the preaching of the Word? Do you think Jesus would be thinking about individuals? Do you think Jesus might be praying, Lord, open for me a door that I might be able to find someone to bring with me? Lord, give me wisdom so I might know how to get them to come. To tell them about the fact that at noon every day we'll have sandwiches here and it'll be a 30-minute service, so leave the work and bring the whole everybody at the office here. Bring your best friend at the office and get here by 12:15, and by 12:45, you'll be headed back to the office, having not only just been able to sit and have lunch together with godly people, but to hear Dan Winkler present a lesson that'll stir your souls. And to say to individuals, I want to tell you about the church that I'm a member of. If you really want to see what this church is like, come with me on Sunday night, come with me on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday night. Let's get there at 6 o'clock and there'll be food here for us. Let's eat together. You think Jesus would not be seeing souls in that respect? You think he would not be praying, Lord, I don't know of anybody that I can teach, but open a door before me that I might invite someone? How easy it is to say to somebody that's kind to you in some store, you just seem to be so happy. I bet you go to church somewhere, don't you? And then to say to them, I've got something I want to give you. I want to tell you of a great, great opportunity. We're having an entire week, 4 days of that week at least, talking about the freedom of forgiveness. And here's a list of the topics that will be discussed. And I want you to come with me. Preparation and invitation. And finally, participation. Look at the words that are on the screen. And they're there for a very, very specific person. You know where Jesus is going to be every time we assemble? I want you to think about that. And I want you to imagine that the Lord is here. We're trying to teach and preach and encourage by our welcoming of people and encouraging by singing together and touching their lives by the words that we melodiously bring to their heart and to their very soul as we praise God. Imagine Jesus being here praying when we sing an invitation song. Imagine Jesus singing, what will Christ do with me? The very words designed to penetrate the hearts of those who need to obey the gospel. And I'm telling you, when you've worked and worked and worked hard to get someone to come and they walk into the building, and the building is not nearly as full during a weeknight service as it is right this very minute, what does that say? What does that say about those who love Duck Dynasty or the American Idol or some secular stuff more than the souls of others? One of the things that helped me as a teenager. It's what some person who was teaching a teen class said to me, if you're deciding whether you ought to do it or not, first, would Jesus do it? And secondly, if Jesus were to come back while you're doing it, how would you feel? And if Jesus were to come back at a time when this body of people has worked together, made plans and preparation, and done everything that we can to reach out and to touch the lives of those around us, having already mailed out 100,000 invitations to the 500 people around your house, and having made preparation, what if Jesus were to decide to come back during that gospel meeting? Where would you want to be? And I say that not with wrath, but with concern, not with bitterness, but with a heart filled with encouragement to say to every member of this church, what would Jesus do if he were a part of this gospel meeting? And however you answer that is exactly and precisely what you ought to do. Jesus, our example in obedience, in service, and in showing how we ought to love this lost world that's out there. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season you'll reap if you faint not. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What's His work? To seek and to save that which was lost. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's work together. And let's have the greatest gospel meeting we've ever had. God help each of us to find a place that we can serve the Lord during this gospel meeting. And now we come to that part of our service where we extend the invitation of Jesus so that we can become like Him. You're not like Him until you become His child. You may have some of the attributes, but burden tied in with all of the moral goodness that you might think you have is your sin, the evil that you've done that separates you from God and sets the wrong example to others. And there's a way you can be like Him because you can believe in Him. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, you can repent of the wrong that's in your life. Acts chapter 11 and verse 18, you can confess with your lips that you believe Jesus is the Son of God. And then you can be immersed in water like they were in Bible times for the forgiveness of your sins. And the most amazing thing happens. He washes you in His blood and makes you as pure and as innocent as the day you came into this world. Have you done that? This church wants to help you become a part of His body, a part of His family, a part of His church, a part of the kingdom because of the choice that you make and the commitment that you make in your own heart. And then let's remember that He says to all of us who've done these first four things, don't you let up. You be full of faith until the day that you die, and I will give you the crown of life. How can this church help you go to heaven? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?